Sufferings, it's your boy Marty here to introduce this rip of Rabbit Hole Recap. It was brought to you by our good friends at Unchained. Unchained is here to help you better secure your Bitcoin, to make it easier for you to buy Bitcoin, and to offer you financial services on top of your Bitcoin. Everything at Unchained revolves around 2 or 3 multi-sig collaborative custody. They have an IRA product, which historically has had a fee associated with it, but they ran a campaign earlier this year. It was massively successful, and they've officially dropped their fee to 21 cents. So if you want to transition your IRA from a traditional IRA into Bitcoin, you can do so very easily via Unchained and very cheaply, 21 cents. Go check it out. Go to unchained.com and use the code RHR at checkout for any of their services, whether that's concierge, onboarding, or anything else that they're offering, and you'll get $50 off that service or product. This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. CoinKite builds the best hardware in the Bitcoin space. If you're watching the video, you can see this nice, beautiful block clock behind me, but they also have the Cold Card Mark IV, which is a hardware device. It's got 2 secure elements. It's the best way to create private public key pairs in an air-gapped way offline. They also have the Cold Card Q. Update on the Cold Card Q. Comes in many different colors, so you don't just need the plain plastic see-through. They've got many different colors now. They also have a new reseller. What would we call this? A product or a program that if you want to resell Cold Cards, they've really streamlined that process. So go to CoinKite.com. Check out all their products, whether it's a block clock, a Cold Card, a Q, Sats Card, Tap Signer. They've got it all. CoinKite.com. Still don't know if we have a promo code there. Try RHR. Try it and see what you get off. Last but not least, this rip was brought to you by our good friends at Stackwork. Stackwork is a cloud sourcing platform that combines the power of humans and AI. If you've listened to us discuss Simple Proof and Digital Witness and how they secured the Guatemalan election on the show, Stackwork and their distributed cloud sourcing workforce helped secure that Guatemalan election. Right now, they're looking for mobile developers. So if you are looking for a job in the Bitcoin space that is not only at the cutting edge of Bitcoin, but also AI, hit up Stackwork, go to their careers page, find it. They're looking for Swift and Kotlin mobile devs right now. So if you're a Swift or a Kotlin developer looking for a job in the space, looking to be on the cutting edge, go hit up Stackwork. And you can go to their website at Stackwork. That's STAKWORK.AI. Enjoy this rip. Okay.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Saturday morning rip.
Let's fucking go. Thank you guys for being flexible. My schedule is insane over here.
I'm pretty bummed at myself right now. There's a wig and a fake mustache in the trash can here at the Commons. I was going to dress up as you and surprise you on camera.
Were you me for Halloween?
I was you for Halloween. It was my wife's idea. She didn't realize that we were going to record on a Saturday this week. Thought we were going to do a Halloween rip on Thursday. But the universe just couldn't make it happen.
Oh, I love that.
She bought me a wig and a mustache, and I couldn't figure out the mustache right before I came in here.
Damn. Disappointed a little bit.
I am too, believe me. I was pissed. I was in the bathroom in the Commons. Trying to figure it out. Couldn't work. Shout out to my wife. Had a lot of traveling this week for work. Had a flight.
Yeah.
Get pushed, turn into a red eye. She allowed me to play golf yesterday for the Unchained first annual White Paper Day Invitational. It's a great day up in Dallas. Now we're recording on a Saturday, and She's not the happiest wife in the world. I love you, baby.
Happy 1031 day.
Happy 1031 day.
Yeah, I mean, while we're at it, shout out to my wife too. She's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Also, a lot of travel. I'm currently in Argentina. First time in Argentina. Vibes are incredibly high down here. I'm very bullish on Argentinians.
Leg guy now? Cautious optimism turning into a full blown optimism.
So, freaks, this week I'm here as a guest of the Human Rights Foundation. And myself, Alex Gladstein, Miles Suter of Block, and Alvaro Salas of the Reynolds Foundation, we met with high-ranking Argentinian government officials as a Bitcoin delegation, right, to talk to them about Bitcoin.
It's a pretty strong delegation.
First of all, I've never done that before in my life. So that was just like?
Did you have to wear a jacket?
Yeah. You would be proud of me. I was a suit for a day. there might be a picture that comes out. We'll see. It was like 10 of us. They were incredibly young and they spoke very freely. You know, it definitely felt like, it felt refreshing from usual, you know, government antics. And so like we went through like this whole, you know, why they should consider Bitcoin, why it's great for their people, why, you know, human flourishing happens via freedom, and how it can empower both, you know, the country as a whole, but also the individuals. And part of my, I also started talking about Strike, and I was like, you know, Strike has 200,000 users in Argentina with basically no marketing, and there's been a lot of demand in Argentina for Bitcoin, just natural organic demand for Bitcoin in Argentina. And I even went as far as spelling out Strike, STRIKE. And then the ambassador returns. The ambassador's response to me was that he was already a Strike user.
Bullish.
Which is insane. So needless to say, I think they understand the opportunity of Bitcoin. I think they understand the opportunity of less government and less regulation. And so I just left, we all left that meeting just incredibly optimistic about the path of this country. And then, of course, you know, I've just spent the last few days here in Buenos Aires, and the people are just amazing. Very resilient people.
Well, more about the people. What is the vibe you're getting post-Milei coming in, instituting Afuera, destroying their IRS, their equivalent of the IRS over there? Are people optimistic? I mean, we've heard that there has been, obviously, they've cut the budget deficit. I believe they have a surplus now. Inflation's still high, but coming down. I believe they may be in a recession. What are the vibes on the street? Are people happy with what's going on? Are they in the ripping the Band-Aid off phase and people are just getting their bearings? What's the vibe you're getting?
I think the young people are very optimistic. And there's kind of a, you know, kind of coming from the perspective of there's really nothing to lose. Let's see what happens here. And the older people are, I think, rightfully, I mean, I'm speaking in generalities, but are rightfully a bit skeptical and a little bit more cautious with it. I mean, the last, you know, 70 years or so of government here has been pretty horrible. So, to say the least, I mean, they have the largest IMF debt burden in the world. Alex gave a presentation at LibitConf about it. And there are people have just basically been saddled with this massive growing debt because of past administrations. So I think rightfully there's a decent amount of skepticism. Let's see how it actually plays out. But also a lot of optimism.
Are they going to start buying Bitcoin soon, do you think?
You know, I'm not, there was a little bit of fake news that came out, like about the central bank mining Bitcoin. Like that was an art installation. Like they were running a couple miners as an art installation, as like a side event of the conference. So I don't think they're quite there yet. But it seems like they're really close to leaning into Bitcoin in a real way. And as I said before, you know, the people have kind of have led this charge, right? Individuals, there's a lot of demand for individuals to obtain Bitcoin and use Bitcoin. One of the things we did was we went to like the Cuevas, like where they exchange Bitcoin for cash. Mm-hmm. And that was an unreal experience. You know, the people find a way regardless. And now that there seems to be a government that is also starting to lean in and move towards more financial freedom and more freedom in general. I mean, it's like you're pouring gasoline on the fire that the people started.
Yeah. Does it give you hope that we can do it here in America? I mean, we're not Argentina style IMF debt. But we have a lot of treasury debt.
To me, I've always found hope in freedom tech. Freedom tech gives me hope, and the people that use it and push the movement forward. And this trip has very much solidified that.
Yeah. Things are getting hot here in the United States. I mean, you've been away from the homeland for about a week now. Things are escalating as we head toward November 5th, election day here in the States. Prediction markets are beginning to price Kamala. Kamala's soaring in the prediction markets relatively to where she was.
It's 59% to 40%. Trump is at 59%. I love how that's soaring.
Yeah, I mean, relatively. Closing the gap. A lot of questions about whether or not there's going to be fuckery with the election. People focus on swing states, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Nevada, Georgia, North Carolina. It's tense here. And we've got a last minute Avenger coming to the side of the Donald Trump campaign, which is Ron Paul. I'm not sure if you saw this, but
it's happened yesterday. I mean, I titled the episode on the Fed.
This is surreal.
Hard to miss that one.
Ron Paul's coming back. Could you imagine? You get RFK, Tulsi, Trump, Vance, Elon, with Ron Paul helping out, the elder whitebeard statesman coming in.
If they empower Ron Paul in a big way, that could be absolutely massive.
Yeah. How beautiful would that be? That man, the nicest man in American political history, who taught us, who planted the seeds, likely in our minds, many of you listening to this, you millennials in your mid-30s, who were in your teenage years when the Ron Paul revolution was happening, 2008 and 2012, telling us why the Fed was bad, why we should lower taxes, cut the government grift, stop sending our dollars to foreign wars. He's laid in the grass for a little over a decade now, continuing to do his work at the Ron Paul Institute, getting his day, getting his opportunity to come back and actually affect change in the U.S. government. It would be beautiful. I think I'm going to vote. We've got a lot of men listening to this podcast. You're not going to like this. Freedom tech is definitely in the way, but there's also paths of resistance that lay before us. One
I believe, with much more resistance, one with less resistance, more optimism, more hope, more building, more getting the government out of your life. If you're in a swing state, I think you should get out and vote.
Just the men.
Well, the men got to vote. I think the men are not voting as much these days.
Our women listeners shouldn't go vote.
The 7 women listeners, you go vote to, but I think this platform, you can go look at the demographic breakdowns that exist on the back end of the podcast and YouTube. It's 97% men. So
I still think we have thousands of female listeners.
Shout out to our lady freaks.
There's a lot of freaks in Argentina. I've met a bunch. That's always cool.
It's global. This is a global podcast.
I think that's the craziest thing about the analytics. It's like 160 plus countries. That's fucking insane.
Almost in every country. We need to get distribution in about 40 more countries. We'll have global coverage.
The Zaps and Zapstream are coming out fucking crazy right now.
I don't have my laptop today. I didn't bring my laptop in.
421,000 sat zaps, Little Spork, Bitcoin Alchemist, MAV21. One is Anon. Test Dummy just zapped 10,000 sats. Our Nostr live stream is at rhr.tv/streamfreaks.
What else? Big week. I mean, Bitcoin, we approached all-time highs. We didn't hit it. But we're back below 70,000, right below 70,000 at 69,000 some odd dollars. What do you think? Do you think Bitcoin's pricing in the election right now, or waiting for the election? What are your thoughts post-election results for Bitcoin?
I think both Bitcoin and broader markets have basically been in like this rotation trade over the last 4 weeks or so, expecting a Trump win, and pumping based on that. But I don't think markets are perfectly efficient. So I think there's a lot of capital just sitting on the sidelines waiting to deploy into Bitcoin until after the election.
Yeah.
But it does seem like that's a key driver of the recent run. Also, I mean, cyclically speaking, like Bitcoin cycle speaking, we're right in the sweet spot where a lot of the upward movement tends to happen on the 4-year halving cycle. With the ETF, usually this is around the time where we start reaching the past all-time high. That kind of got front ran because of the effect of the ETFs, I think. And then we kind of stayed stagnant, and now we're kind of getting back into the classic cycle to a degree. We've talked about in the past that, you know, Bitcoin now is more of a macro asset than it's ever been. So there's some nuance there, but I don't think the cycles are dead completely.
Yeah, I don't know. This chop solidation for the last 7-8 months. Very strong base to build off of moving forward as we head towards $1.8 million between now and this time next year.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. I'm incredibly bullish.
Same. News items this week. I think one of the big ones that caught my eye, particularly because we've been saying for many years that states are going to lead the way in some regards in terms of Bitcoin adoption. You had the CFO of the state of Florida, Jimmy Patronis, come out and write a letter to the state advisory board saying, I want you. So very similar to the Microsoft thing, but it's not a vote. It's a mandate. He wants the state pension system to seriously consider putting Bitcoin on the state's treasury. So that's a bullish signal. You have one of the largest economies in the country, in Florida. I believe in his letter he said if Florida was a standalone country, it would be the 16th largest economy in the world. So Florida's got the mandate to look into Bitcoin and crypto for what it's worth. It was the crypto word was in there. Another interesting thing, he was on CNBC, Jimmy Patronis, on Thursday morning, and he said that the state pension system already has $600 million allocated to crypto-related investments.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, what is crypto-related investments?
Imagine pensions, invest in funds or something like that.
So the people listening on the podcast, Marty did quote air quotes with crypto-related investments.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not like... Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of shit out there.
Yeah. And I mean...
Hopefully it's mostly Bitcoin.
Yeah. I'm bummed we couldn't do this on Thursday. Well, luckily, I mean, you were gone. I was... incredibly exhausted because I had a red eye flight. It was not supposed to be a red eye flight, but it turned into one.
Yeah, I had a red eye flight too.
And
but mine was like 10 hours to Argentina.
The Thursday, October 31st, 16th anniversary of the white paper being released. And I think it is crazy to think of what's happened in 16 years. Bitcoin is the sixth largest base money in the world. Will be the fifth largest if we get above 86K, I believe. Gone from $0 market cap to $1.42 trillion, around there. Right now, in 16 years, it's gone from this fringe cypherpunk experiment that got laughed at and it's called, still is to this day, but not as much anymore, a Ponzi scheme, a speculative investment, an asset for drug dealers, and speculators and criminals. In 16 short years, we've gone from $0 to around $70,000, $1.42 trillion market cap, sixth largest base money in the world, and it's gone from a gnat on the ass of the global economy to a force to be reckoned with. You have states seriously considering putting it on their pensions. You have countries seriously thinking about putting it on their treasury. It is a political topic here in the United States heading into the most important election of our lifetimes. And it's just crazy to think 16 years is not a long time. It's half my life, a little under half my life, but it's crazy to think that Bitcoin has been around for half of our lives now at this point.
Yeah, it feels like a big Bitcoin birthday. It felt like a very strong 1031 day. Yeah. I mean, for me too, that was the day we met with the ambassador. I would say, by the way, just one more piece on that. Gladstein's a fucking pro. I felt like, I think he's older than me, but I felt like a proud father just standing there like... when he was doing his Bitcoin pitch, just very strong. But yeah, Bitcoin's come such a long way. It's been an honor and a privilege to watch it grow.
It really has. I think it's been fast. I can vividly remember what I was doing on October 31st, 2008, when the white paper launched. I was running through Broad Street, celebrating the Phillies World Series win. And it doesn't seem like that long ago. Senior in high school, obviously. Started a career, started a family. A lot has happened since then, but they warn you, especially before you have kids. It's like it goes by fast. It's the same with Bitcoin. It goes by fast. And if you play it forward another 16 years to think of where we can be, things are going to be very weird. In a good way, I think. We're going to be surprised to the upside in terms of how much success Bitcoin has. And it does feel like the zeitgeist, I don't know, you're down in Argentina, so I imagine you're feeling this too, and you did mention it earlier, but I don't know, it feels like, particularly with this election coming up, that people are extremely cautiously optimistic. And if Trump wins... particularly for Bitcoin, it feels like things are going to get pretty wild, pretty fast.
Yes. I mean, I think so too, in a big way.
Yeah. And I mean,
I would say, I'm trying to choose my words very carefully here. If Trump wins, I mean, this is going to be the first, this will be the first administration where like Bitcoiners have, some Bitcoiners have a front row seat in a lot of the policymaking decisions.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Go vote. Freaks, get off your ass. Make it too big to rig. That's I've been a constant libertarian anarcho-capitalist. Like, don't vote. It's not worth it. And I know you got me with the clip the other week. I want to say that's not fair. I've never believed that the elections are important until this one, because it does feel like you get communism where you get some.
I would just
some semblance of hope of fixing things.
I think I'm rightfully skeptical of a lot of the promises, but we shall see how it plays out.
We shall see. We shall see. MicroStrategy, big waves this week. Coming out and saying they're going to dilute shareholders by $42 billion over the next 3 years.
Yeah, holy shit, Michael.
$42 billion over 3 years to buy Bitcoin.
I mean, dude doesn't stop. Well, I've always liked the number 42.
21 times two. It's a great number, you know.
It's crazy. Like, I mean, because they're a public company, he just like telegraphs it to the world. He's like, I'm doing this thing.
Yeah. And their stock did not budge. I mean, he came out and said, I'm going to dilute the shit out of you in the next 3 years. Bit. It, I mean, relative to other stocks, it was relative strength of best equities.
The whole market kind of went down, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we had a terrible jobs report yesterday. I'm not sure if you caught that, but payrolls came in at 12,000. They were expected to be 100,000, and they would have been negative 63,000, I believe, if it wasn't for government jobs being added to the economy last month. So I think there was like net 80,000 new jobs, all government. If the government wasn't hiring people, we would have had a negative jobs report. And that's the other thing. I mean, regardless of who gets in, they're adopting a pretty terrible economic situation. It seems pretty clear that the economy is sputtering right now. The jobs report, which is historically manipulated. Not only did they say there's only 12,000 new jobs that were added last month, they revised August and September down pretty significantly as well. I'm not sure if you guys are paying attention to the plumbing of the Federal Reserve System, but the reverse repo is being drained pretty aggressively right now, approaching zero. Spreads have blown out in the overnight markets, which is not a good sign. And then the blowout of the long end of the yield curve, 30-year, 10-year treasuries, is accelerating. It doesn't seem like anything that the Fed or the Biden administration does to posture economically is stopping people from dumping their long-term bonds.
Chapter 3 of the Mandibles.
Chapter 3.
The book is just getting started. Mandibles than Bitcoin Standard. You could be an absolute savant, and the situation right now is, I mean, what the interest payments on the debt is larger than defense spending right now, and defense spending is way too high.
Yeah,
like it's hard to, I mean, short of just printing a shit ton of money and buying Bitcoin directly with it and then holding the Bitcoin, it's hard to see a path out of it.
Yeah. Ron Paul, we need you. We need Ron Paul to come in.
Congratulations on launching Bitcoin Alpha with John and Grant. I saw you guys released your first episode.
We released the first episode. of Bitcoin Alpha. It has been a long time coming. We had to rip the Band-Aid off. I'm excited. More people need to get the insights of Grant Gillum and John Arnold. It's going to be a fun show. We're going to keep it quick. We said that we're going to do it bi-weekly, but I just saw the group chat for Bitcoin Alpha, and they already want to rip next week. So next episode is supposed to come out.
That escalated.
Next episode is supposed to come out in 13 days, but there may be one in 6 days. We'll keep you freaks abreast of that. But yeah, we're just going to get together every other week as of right now, maybe every week, and talk about the state of what we're seeing on the institutional side and the venture side within Bitcoin. Because obviously we see a lot at 1031. And people need to hear a story more, particularly people outside the Bitcoin bubble. And that's the hope, is that we'll have some institutional investors who are Bitcoin curious listening in and hearing the pitch and getting a better understanding of what's going on within the Bitcoin industry. Because, I mean, if you look at a broader venture, it's a pretty big bloodbath right now. Many funds who raised in 2020, 2021 and invested all that ZERP COVID money into B2B SaaS and other vanilla tech ventures are struggling. And I truly believe, having just looking out at the world right now, that like Bitcoin, in terms of if you're looking for a growth sector from the VC perspective, the Bitcoin industry is like one of the few outside of AI that actually has any legs under it and ability to drive returns for investors.
So if you want to listen to Bitcoin Alpha, it's on Marty's podcast feed, the TFTC podcast feed, and also our YouTube. So TFTC on YouTube.
Yeah. Go check it out.
I see Average Gary asking when the next SIL dispatches. I've been pretty swamped over here, but I think we might have one in a few days. I'll keep you guys updated on Noster. Pablo's here with me, and I'd like to do a rip in person with Pablo. So hopefully we can make that happen. I was talking to him about it last night.
Is he open to it?
Oh yeah. I mean, we just need to make the time and make it happen. We're like, we're just running all over the place over here. I mean, even this, like, look at this rip, right? How to make it happen.
Yeah.
Had but it was very much flux.
I spent some marital capital on this rip. I'm going to pay back today. I'm missing a soccer practice.
Well, send my apologies to the fam.
I will.
Because it was mostly my fault.
I'm trying to pull up the boost from last week, and Fountain's not working for me. Let me get off the Wi-Fi, see if that helps. But I think you're going to like one of the top boosts from last week. Top boost from Will Microsoft Buy Bitcoin, Rabbit Hole Recap 328. First comes from Northwest Arkansas Bitcoin, 69,479 sats. Northwest Arkansas Bitcoin is hosting Noster 101 next Saturday, November 9th at 11 a.m. And we'll meet at Startup Junkies off the Fayetteville downtown square. Check out our Noster feed, Meetup, or X to find additional details and reach out with questions. Join us to learn about another freedom tool for your stack. Go Hogs. At original size, 50,000 sats.
That's yeah.
Chapter 1, Gray Water. Don't use clean water to wash your hands. Intended as a gentle reminder that the admonishment came out shrill. Florence didn't want to seem like what her son would call a boomer poop. But still, the rules of the household were simple. Esteban consistently flouted them. There were ways of establishing that you weren't under any somewhat older woman's thumb without wasting water. He was such a cripplingly handsome man that shed let him get away with almost anything else. To be continued, if necessary.
Do you realize what just happened there?
Yeah, I recognize that from, I recall that being chapter one of Mandibles.
I, I think that freak is gonna get you to read the whole book through Boosts every week.
Everybody's gonna learn. Everybody's gonna learn about mandibles.
When I saw that boost, I got a fucking kick out of it.
I did too.
I was not involved. All credit goes to who was the freak who sent it?
Original Size.
Shout out Original Size. Thank you for your support.
At Itsy Bitsy HODL, 20,000 sats with large public companies considering adding Bitcoin to their treasuries. Make sure to front run them with your personal treasury. Stay humble and stack sats. Great advice. Itsy Bitsy.
It's HODL. The advice. I love it.
8 Mithrandir, 7,777 sats, 7s across the board, palindrome boost. Update, the HRF will be paying out the Frost Bounty to Stack Wallet. Looks like we had some influence on a bounty being paid.
Love to see it.
Good to see. If you guys don't recall, 8 Mithrandir boosted us last week with.
I appreciate him updating us. Dude's a ride or die. Thank you, Ape.
Yeah. It is, let's do a little business on air talk. We've been very busy traveling the world, meetings, golf outings, meetings with ambassadors, conferences. This is only the beginning of the bull market. Things are going to get crazy for us. How do we stay sane? How do we stay healthy?
I mean, for years, my strategy was just to say yes to everything. And now it got to be very much more deliberate. Time is the most scarce asset. The only thing more scarce than Bitcoin.
Really feel it. That was the busiest week of my year so far, I think.
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind. You know?
Yeah.
It's, you know, action. People just got to be the change they want to see in the world.
It is on us. And it is crazy. Again, reflecting on 16 years of Bitcoin, I think that's, you said you were proud of Bitcoin. I'm proud of Bitcoiners too, because I think, again, just reflecting and looking out what lays before us, what has happened over the first 16 years, it's got to give the industry and the individuals within Bitcoin just a massive pat on the back. This is a freedom technology that will only succeed if people get off their ass, roll up their sleeves, and get work done. I mean, I think that is the most incredible thing of everything that's happened and where Bitcoin has gotten to in 16 short years is it doesn't happen without individuals just using their agency to get up and get shit done. And it's been in the face of many headwinds of people making fun of us, telling us we're stupid, saying that Bitcoin is worthless. Beyond that, stronger headwinds from a regulatory front, governments actively working against us, companies working against us. Despite all that, we sit in a pretty strong position today. So shout out to everybody pushing forward. And the work is not done yet. There's a lot of work to be done, a lot of tools, companies, products that need to be built. This is just the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, it's really easy to fall into the trap of thinking of Bitcoin and other freedom tech as merely software projects. But ultimately, it's a movement of individuals who take action, you know, stand up and get shit done. So shout out to all of you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think. Mining's pretty hot right now. We're approaching a Zeta hash, I believe. Look, and pull up mempool.space, go to mining. I believe we temporarily hit like 820 exahash earlier this week. I'd be interested to see if we're still around there. Let's go to the mining tab up top. 757 exahash right now.
That chart is designed to pump forever. Oh, yeah. Huge shout out to FutureBit. There was a solo miner on that was using a future bit that found a block.
Very bullish.
And like everything, like that's not using, you know, CK pool, which is like a quote unquote solo mining pool that builds block templates. that like FutureBit has everything self-hosted. So like it was a proper solo mined block. It's really fucking cool.
I mean, that's one thing that, I mean, everybody's afraid of Bitcoin mining pool centralization and everything going on with FPPS, and they worry. But I think, I mean, whether it's FutureBit or what we've seen with BitAx and CK Solo Pool this year, I think that's one of the bullish, more bullish trends that, that is definitely picking up. We're seeing Ocean mine more blocks. We're seeing people with BitAxes and FutureBits mine blocks. Like the commodification of ASICs is enabling individuals to contribute to block construction and adding blocks of transactions to the network and getting rewarded for it, which has been Ocean hash for some time.
I believe Ocean hash rate right now is at an all-time high. It's trending up. It's great to see. I would say specifically, like I really like this, the like proper solo mining, right? So Datum from Ocean enables you to do this. Also FutureBit has their own mechanism to do this, where you run your own node and you construct your own blocks. It's empowering to see. And just this concept of basically low power miners that are lottery mining, right? They may never find a block. But if they do, they get to construct it and choose which transactions they want to include. And at the fringes, that can make a big difference, right? If there is a transaction that is getting censored at the protocol level, if it gets confirmed in 20 blocks because there was a solo mined block by some random anon, that puts pressure on all the mining pools. Fortunately, we haven't seen any broad-based protocol censorship yet. And maybe this just preempts it. But this is a trend that we've been watching for a long time, which is this idea of the commodification of ASICs, the increasingly larger life cycles that before they get obsolete should naturally distribute how many people have ASICs and how many people are constructing blocks.
Yeah, I'm very bullish on ASIC commodification enabling individuals to contribute. It's all coming together, freaks. What else happened this week? I'm trying to pull things from the top of my mind. What else happened? Yeah, we can pull this up.
I've been pretty out of it.
Everybody's talking about Polymarket. Polymarket came out of nowhere. Hot chick on the block this election cycle.
Who's the lead investor of Polymarket?
I think Founders Fund, A16Z, a few others. There's the founder of Polymarket with Tim Walz earlier this week.
Founders Fund is Teal, right?
Yeah.
I think the funniest part about Polymarket, I mean, first of all, there's so much friction.
Let me double check that. I don't want
to. There's so much friction to use it. Like, I mean, we've talked about this in the past. Like, we need more usage of Bitcoin prediction markets. But I think the funniest part is like the claim that foreign money is influencing the election through Polymarket, and Polymarket's not legally allowed to serve Americans. It's like Polymarket would love if Americans could participate in the election prediction market, but we're not legally allowed to. But I think there's an important, as someone who's paid attention to prediction markets for a while, there's an important important distinction to think about in terms of polls versus prediction market, right? So first of all, there's, I think, a lot of credibility to say that polls are grossly inaccurate and have very small sample sizes and aren't very good at predicting outcomes. But they continue to try. If a poll is at 55% to 45%, right? And it's trying to measure actual voting results, right? In terms of elections, right? Prediction markets can be used for all sorts of things, like predicting the weather, you know, global disasters, anything. But in terms of elections, right? You have polls, you have, let's say it's 55-45% for a poll. That poll is saying that the results of the election will be 55-45%. But on a prediction market, it should, in that situation, if the market believes that the 55% person is very likely to win, it should be way higher, right? It should be like, as you get closer to the election and as it gets quote unquote priced in, the way it ends is it ends 100% on one side. So you have to look at it in a different way. And I think that's lost on a lot of people. Like, a lot of people are looking at prediction markets in terms of the perspective that they had previously with polls.
Yeah.
Like, on the eve of the election, if there's very good confidence that one candidate is going to win 55%, that prediction market should be like 90% to that candidate.
Yeah, this will be pretty big for prediction markets. Like, if they're pricing it in pretty significantly in the lead up to the election, like Monday night, whenever, and then it goes the other way, it's like, what value do these?
Well, I think it's also important to realize that, once again, Americans aren't legally allowed to participate.
They can participate in Kalshi. Like,
yeah, but it's small, right?
I don't know.
The second part is there's a lot of friction to use it, right? Because it's not even, I mean, there'd be friction if it was ETH. It's not even, you have to like get another shitcoin on top of ETH. It's not like an easy thing to access. And the result of both of those things mean that it's not very liquid, right? So like the prediction market dream is, you know, for large events, you know, you have billions of dollars of liquidity, and we're not even close to that. So whales can relatively, there's a lot of slippage, right? It's weird, you know, it's a trading game, right? There's a lot of slippage if you have a large amount that you are trying to either, you know, hedge or make a bet on this outcome.
Yeah.
This is something like, so this is why in a lot of ways, Bitcoin is almost a incredibly liquid global prediction market on macro outcomes. And you start to see like different aspects of global trends get priced into Bitcoin based on market sentiment. And in those situations, it takes a lot more money to move the price in one direction or the other in the short term.
Yeah, if we're using the current Bitcoin price as a barometer for which direction the election will go, it seems like it's a 50-50 toss-up at this point. We're like bubbling right below all-time highs, and the market doesn't seem confident enough to push it over, which would signal to me that it's somewhat of a toss-up right now. Is what happens next week.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would say that it's, I mean, I think it's the market is mostly expecting a Trump presidency.
Is that what you're expecting?
Yeah. Like I'm pretty confident that Trump will be in the White House in January.
That would be sick. That would be sick.
I mean, it's crazy. Like, it's going to come down to like 30,000 voters in swing states.
Hey, gentlemen, and the few of you ladies listening to this, get out and vote, particularly if you care about the future of Bitcoin.
I just, I think it's important that I've never endorsed, in my short time as a public figure, I've never endorsed a presidential candidate. And I will not do that right now either.
I'll do it. Go vote for Trump because.
And I'm pretty excited. I'm pretty excited that Trump will likely win. And then over the next 4 years, as different disappointments roll in, I plan to bring up Marty's endorsement. And Marty's going to he's going to have all these different excuses. You know, it's, he got handed a bad bag, this, that, you know, all this different stuff. Hopefully Ross will be free. Bitcoin price will be.
That's all I want.
Be soaring. Be Bitcoin adoption will be soaring. And we'll be at chapter 7 of Mandibles. And we'll just keep pushing forward.
Yeah. Hedging the bet a little bit. The endorsement. Again, going back. I mean, whoever gets in, Trump gets in, he's getting handed a steaming pile of dog shit.
Yeah, see, the excuses are already starting.
On the economy side.
I mean, look, Biden can go fuck himself, but he was also handed a steaming pile of dog shit.
He was. It is one big steaming pile of dog shit with shipping added to it, and the fire is getting stronger. That is being overlooked in the election. Like if anybody's paying attention to bond, the bond yield curve, or the liquidity in the back end plumbing of the banking system or the jobs market, it's not looking good anywhere you turn. And everybody's got a needle of thread here moving forward in terms of the economic stuff. There's going to be, it's funny, there's going to be a 30-year auction on Tuesday, 10-year auction on Wednesday. And obviously it's going to be very chaotic with the election happening Tuesday and results rolling in Wednesday, but I would pay attention to those auctions as well and see what, see how they go, particularly if we get some clarity Tuesday night, that auction on Wednesday, seeing what the demand for that looks like could be very telling in terms of, Trump wins and the auction demand is still low. That's not a good sign.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I would just stable and stack sats. Who would buy that?
Stablecoin issuers that need liquid reserves. Actually, they're buying shorter term bonds. But
I think it's, we've started to witness this mask off moment, and people are starting to realize that it's just a bad deal. It's a bad deal to effectively lend money to the U.S. government.
Yeah, they're not great at managing it. So it's like literally feeding your degenerate gambler friend who just goes out and takes crazy 7-game parlays and loses every single one of them.
Yeah, and then they pretend it's in amazing credit rating.
Yeah, remember that one time in the 90s where we had a budget surplus? I'm going to bring that back. Don't worry.
I'm just grateful that people have the ability to opt out of it all.
Yeah. You should take advantage of that ability to opt out.
Take it into our own hands.
Yeah. You got to stack sats, protect yourself, protect your family, protect your local community, your city, your state. Start with within and work outward. And Bitcoin, held in self-custody, secured properly, is the safest bet in the world. I feel very confident in saying that.
100% stay humble, stack sats.
Peace and love, freaks. Okay.